Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and its Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 06-3085, United States of America versus Marlon Moore, appellant. Ms. Rowland for the appellant, Ms. Chasson for the appellee.
May it please the court, Sandra Rowland on behalf of Marlon Moore. What is missing here is any evidence, testimonial or otherwise, about post office policy, about whether a signature was required in this case, or how or why a signature might be important to any decision by the post office.
What about the testimony of Mr. Mancuso?
The detective, is that who you're referring to?
Is he a detective? Well, he operates, I guess he's a postal inspector.
The postal inspector who delivered the package was Inspector Bumpus.
Well, here's what Mancuso says. This is at 349 of the volume 2 of 2, the transcript of the trial. He's asked, anything on the right side of significance? It shows that it was addressed to Mr. Paris. This is the package that went to the person who sent it down to Moore, I believe. In this case, it doesn't have a signature on who accepted. Our old labels used to have that, but the new ones don't, but it shows it was addressed to him. After obtaining this, I went into our system. We have a database that will track who signed for a package. And immediately after I obtained this, our product tracking system showed that a Travis Paris had, in fact, signed for and accepted it. And we found out that Mr. Paris, in fact, had a criminal history. So it was illustrative of how they used this system.
Not every package requires a signature. And, of course, that was a package going to Mr. Paris. The false statement was a package coming to Karen White.
Right, but it seemed to me that your claim was that in the brief was that there's no reason to think that this name is ever important. Signature.
Absolutely. Mr. Paris testified that when he filled out the express mail form, he chose the option that it would not require a signature to be delivered. If a signature isn't even required by the post office, and there was no evidence from the postal service itself about this, it's hard to see how it could be material to any decision that they might make.
It's required when the postal patron wants it, correct?
Once
a signature says, don't deliver this unless there's a signature for it.
There's no testimony. There's no evidence about that. Most mail is delivered without any signature. From my own experience, I do know that you can require a signature. In this case, apparently, in the package that Marlon Moore signed for, a signature was not required. That was Todd Paris's testimony, and there's no other evidence suggesting that it was required.
Is the form in the record?
No, it is not. At page 109 of the government's appendix, Todd Paris testifies that he filled out the form such that it would not require a signature. Postal Inspector Bumpus did not testify that a signature required and did not testify about how a signature might be used by any decision of the Postal Service.
Well, we just heard that from Mancuso.
We heard it as to a particular kind of form, but it was not the form that is being discussed here.
Well, we heard it as to how signatures are used in tracking.
Yes,
right. Okay.
But not all packages will be able to be tracked.
Right, which I think
depending on how you send them.
I think that goes to the heart of the question here, whether materiality is measured against the facts in this particular case or more generically for this situation. And the other circuits all seem to be on record saying that it's potential for in this
yes,
general
absolutely.
Type of situation.
It's whether it's capable of influencing a decision by the post office.
Even if it didn't.
Do you agree with
that
standard?
Case.
Do you agree with that?
That is the standard enunciated
in the other circuits.
Well, it's the standard enunciated by the Supreme Court in Gowden and earlier in.
But the question is, do you agree that it has to be? It doesn't have to be capable of influencing the decision under the facts of this case, so long as it's capable of influencing some decision of the Postal Service.
Do you agree? No. I think it has to be.
Because that's what the other circuits have said.
Of influencing a decision in this case. But even aside from that, even if the standard
is. That's not what the other circuits have said.
Capable of influencing a decision, there has to be some evidence about what the decision would be. And in Gowden, the Supreme Court set out the standard. The statement must have a natural tendency to influence or be capable of influencing the decision of a decision-making body.
But it's generic, right? In other words, if signatures generally were important to the Postal Service, that would be good enough. I mean, that's what the jury instructions seem to say here, and you didn't object to the jury instructions, right?
I don't read the jury instructions as saying if you find that generally the post office cares about signatures.
Well, it says could have or might have influenced the United States Postal Service functions. The government does not have to prove that the U.S. Postal Service actually relied on the attempted false or fictitious statement or misrepresentation.
Right. And we haven't challenged that.
Right.
But what the Supreme Court has said is that there are two historical questions that must be answered. The first is, what statement was made? And here, that's answered. That's not an issue. And the second is, what decision was the agency trying to make? There was absolutely no testimony about how a signature might affect a decision by the post office. The government asks that the court find that the jury could make inferences.
Wait a minute. You said absolutely no testimony about how a signature might be used by the post office.
Well, how a signature on this form might be used.
On this form in any case.
Yes.
Not in this case, but in any case.
Yes.
And I just read you testimony that it was used to track a package to someone with a criminal history as part of a Postal Service investigation.
That is an entirely different matter from whether the signature that is alleged to, whether his false statement on this form could be capable of influencing a decision of the Postal Service.
Well, suppose, for example, in this case, they hadn't arrested him, but had lost track. They lost track of him. Okay.
They lost track of the defendant.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They would, according to this testimony, Mancuso. They would try to use the name on the form to track him, try to find him, find out who he was. That's what that testimony says.
Well.
By the way, it's not surprising to us that you are surprised about this testimony, since it's not in the government's brief, right? So that's okay.
Nor in the
joint appendix, right?
I think that the case cited in the government's 28J letter is.
No, but can I just go back to my question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Is it your point that from your perspective, the defect here is that it couldn't have influenced the decision in this case, any action by the Postal Service in this case, because the inspector would have given the package to anybody who signed it? Or is that your point?
My point is,
because there is evidence that
introduce evidence. They can't rely
on. Well, Judge Ginsburg read you the testimony, which said that they use this to track packages.
That they use
to track people.
Yes.
That's how they found this guy.
Well, they use
signatures
to track people,
right,
where signatures are important to the post office and where they are required.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that it was required in this case. The evidence that they needed to introduce was very simple, and it's basically the evidence that was introduced in the case cited in the government's 28J letter, where the postal inspector testified that the form issue there was necessary for the post office to carry out its core function of delivering mail.
That's pretty generic, general testimony, though. Well, why do you think the post office requires signatures?
I don't know, but it certainly that should be something that's very easy to prove as an evidentiary matter. Whether they required a signature in this case, it was proven to the negative, that it was not required.
I thought your argument, going to Judge Tatel's question, was I thought you had arguments in the alternative. In other words, there was no evidence in this case of how it affected, but even if that's the wrong focus, there was no evidence generally as to how the post office in the run of many cases uses signatures, right? So even if your argument?
Yes, but I mean, my point is that...
And my response to that on your second point is, why do they require signatures if that's... I mean, it doesn't really make sense that they require signatures unless it's for some tracking purpose.
Yes. Although here they had, I mean, they certainly were, well, never mind, you're not talking about here, you're talking about in general.
Right.
In every case that I've seen that involves a false statement such as this, there's very simple testimony, for example, from the Small Business Administration saying, it's important to us because, you know, we only provide loans to, you know, people with a certain amount of capital. What they needed here was a postal inspector to testify that a signature was required here, and it was required because it could affect a decision of the Postal Service. And they didn't provide either.
So holding in your favor here would actually be very narrow, because the government in future cases could satisfy this in about 2 minutes of testimony.
Yes, and I would leave it to those lawyers in those cases to argue perhaps that that's not enough.
Can I make sure also I understand what's at stake? The real world here, this is a 10-year sentence, and this would knock off 12 months of the 10-year sentence.
Exactly.
Is that correct? Okay.
This 60-month sentence is running concurrent with a 48-month sentence.
Yeah, 10 years total, and this would knock off 12
yes.
months of the total.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Rowland. I'll give you a minute for rebuttal.
Morning. May it please the Court, Sarah Chasson on behalf of the United States. The government presented sufficient evidence to support appellant's conviction for making a false.
How would we have known that from your brief?
Because what we relied on was the testimony of Inspector Bumpus, who testified that before she gave a package to appellant, who was not the intended recipient of the package, she required him to present her with her name, with his name.
She would have given it to him if he had signed David Tatel.
She wanted to know his identity before she left it. It was important that she knew who she was giving it to.
Well, then why didn't she ask for his identity instead of his signature?
Because she didn't have any reason to think that he was lying to her.
Well, neither does the TSA when I go to the airport, but they insist on some identity.
Yes, they want your identification in order to so that they can try to make sure they know who you are. But we don't. It's not a component of the materiality analysis that the agent exercise every single possible option to catch the person who is lying. The question before the court, and you referred to this earlier in your questions to Ms. Rowland, Judge Tatel, is, you know, is it a question? Is it a general question? Is it the case law says that as a general matter, in most situations, not just this one. Is this information that the agency...
So if we can imagine any circumstance under which the information could be useful to the Postal Service, even if it has nothing to do with this case at all, then it's material?
There has to be a logical fit between the question and the influence...
Does there have to be any relationship between the facts and circumstances of this case?
No. And that's shown by numerous cases where, for example... suppose you lie to the FBI in an interview.
What do you do with the case that the defendant cites, Weinstock versus the Weinstock case, which they cite? Quote, materiality must be determined by the facts and circumstances of a particular case. That's the D.C. Circuit.
But that is referring to the use that the agency is going to make of the information. Those are the circumstances of the particular case. It's not, as Judge Easterbrook pointed out in an opinion in a Turner case, which I did not cite to this court, but it's illustrative. You know, the question is, when you're looking at the facts and circumstances of this case versus another, there are circumstances under which a lie about somebody's middle initial may or may not be material. So you have to look at the circumstances under which that particular statement is made. Here we have a postal agent delivering something to somebody who's not the intended addressee, taking steps to make sure they understand the relationship between the person who receives the package.
Suppose we disagreed with you about that. Suppose we thought there was no way in which this false signature was material to the decision the postal inspector made here. Okay, suppose we just didn't agree with you about that.
Well, it...
In other words, if we believe, based on the record, that she would have given it to anybody who signed, who was holding a set of keys to the house, what's your argument for defending the verdict?
Well, our argument for defending it is that he knowingly...
No, I'm saying we disagree with you that it's material under the facts of this case. Had nothing to do with it. She would have given it to anybody who signed.
I think that the government then probably is going to have... That's not going to be a favorable result for the United States.
So you would concede then that if we don't agree with you about that, we have to reverse?
If you don't think that this question is that the statement is material, it's material information.
Material to the delivery. I thought it was material to the tracking, though, was your other argument, isn't
that? That was what the government argued in its closing as well, yes.
In other words,
renewed that argument on appeal or abandoned it?
I think we referred to that also in our brief as well as material to the delivery.
How is it material to the tracking?
Well, if you don't know who has obtained a package, then the trail of it ends.
Right. I guess what I don't understand, why does the post office require a signature? Same question I asked defense counsel.
The post office requires a signature in order to figure out who actually has the packages that
are delivered. Then why don't they require some identification?
They could require some identification, but they don't have to. No case.
I thought the reason they might have required a signature, obviously don't know and it's not in the record, is that if there's a claim of lost or misplaced mail, or there's some kind of administrative claim, I don't know what the process is, that you can prove that it was actually delivered. It's not that it was delivered to the exact person, but someone signed for it at that address, and therefore that satisfies the post office's obligations. Because otherwise, as Judge Ginsburg says, wouldn't you want to know who exactly it is?
Yes, you would want to know who it is, but there was no, just because this person in fact lied to the inspector doesn't mean that her receipt of his name was not material to her decision to leave it.
This chain of questions began with my question that you assume we don't agree with you about that.
About the materiality of delivery.
In this case.
In this case.
Yeah. And so what we're trying to understand is, does that end the case? Do we reverse? Or do you have a backup argument?
Well, we also argued in our brief that it was material, and that we argued to the jury as well that it was material to the ability to track them.
Okay, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. So you can't answer that question by going back to it was material in this case.
Well,
the question is, why do they require a signature?
In order to know who is obtaining their packages. This is a very kind of, you know, where the jury is entitled to use their common sense about why Inspector Bumpus...
I thought juries had to base their decisions on evidence.
They had evidence. They had testimony from Inspector Bumpus that it was important to her to know who she was delivering it to. She asked him for his...
I'm trying to get you to focus on the possibility that we don't agree with you about that, and therefore, what is the basis for affirming the conviction?
Well, then
that's what we're trying to get at.
After it's delivered.
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt, but after it's delivered, how is it then used by the post office?
After it's delivered, then the post office can use the information that you provide to figure out.
Does it though? I mean, is there some evidence to that effect? I'm guessing on a variety of things the post office might want it for, some of which would be helpful to you and some of which are not, but I don't know, and there's nothing in the record.
Well, the jury is entitled, though, to use its knowledge of the general workings of the post office.
Well, that's where I was trying to use my own knowledge of the general workings of the post office, and I came up with a couple theories, some of which wouldn't work for you.
Well, it's important. Just knowing who the package is signed for is important to the post office because then they can figure out at least where it went to.
My question was, it may be important that someone at that address signed for it, but the precise identity of the person may not be important for the post office.
But if you want to retrieve your package.
Well, right, and that's the question. Is that how it works, or is it merely a defense mechanism for the post office or a defensive device so that it can defend against some kind of administrative claim? I don't know if there are even claims like this for lost mail, but I assume there are, and I know the FTCA has an exception for this kind of thing, but I assume there's an administrative claims process of some kind.
There might be, but people are entitled to rely upon what they have done, and in cases that I have done, I have called and said, I sent something, where is it? And they said it was signed by such and such a person, and then you figure out that it's the receptionist at an office.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to locate the package and figure out where it might have gone to, which is mm-hmm. a core function of the Postal Service.
Mm-hmm. Has the statute ever been used for this before?
I have found no case where the statute has been used for this mm-hmm. before. But it's
and it wasn't charged in the first go-around in this case?
It was not. And I think, it's clearly this was the government was trying for a conviction on the conduct that most closely matched exactly what the defendant's intended crime was. This is a lesser charge
right.
on a retrial.
Further questions?
No. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jessen.
I just have two brief points. One is that Judge Kavanaugh, your guesses and you used the word guess and you used the word assumption, and that is exactly our point, that inferences are conclusions based on evidence, and there was no evidence here. Guesses and assumptions are not permitted.
What about the government's response, though, which I think really on page 14 of their brief and just now at oral argument really is, it's common sense. They wouldn't ask for the signature unless it was used for some kind of tracking purpose, either by customers of the post office who want to know someone signed for it or by the post office itself.
Well, certainly customers of the post office are not envisioned in the statute. The statute is about whether it's capable of influencing a decision of the agency, the government agency. We could all speculate that certainly having the more information you have, the more able you are to track something. If you had the person's ID, if you had their driver's license number, all of that information makes it easier to find someone. Mm-hmm. But there's no evidence in this record about there's evidence suggesting that a signature was not required here, mm-hmm. and there's no evidence about what they would do with a signature, under what circumstances they require it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Rhodes. Case is submitted. Thank you both.